This is Justin from Semi-Precious Weapons.
Tyler from Neon Trees.
This is Tim Nordwin from the band OK Go.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
You are listening to High Voltage.
Hello, and welcome back to another High Voltage Radio Hour. I'm Chelsea, your host. It's been a minute. We've been doing a lot more written reviews lately, but today we're going to talk about Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. And this film felt like it needed to be unpacked more than I could in written form. So here we are. Now, there are going to be a lot of specifics. So if you don't want spoilers, if you have not seen it, I would definitely save this podcast. Come back later. First, I'm going to give you some overall thoughts that are spoiler free. And then I'll give you another spoiler warning to turn off before anything else happens. So first, I would just like to say that based off the trailer, this film was not at all what I expected, plot-wise, story-wise, whatsoever. Everywhere I thought it would go and would be focused did not happen. But yet, at the same time, where it did go, I still loved. And I really just feel like that says something to the quality of what they did produce. So those are my overall thoughts. Now we're going to dive into those specifics. This is your official last spoiler warning. Counting down from 3, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. All right. The Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. This film clocks in at 2 hours and 23 minutes. The pacing is great. You don't even feel like it's a 2.5 hour film at all. It's really just magical. It has so many little nuggets of callbacks that whether you like Harry Potter or Fantastic Beasts or all of Wizarding World in general, you're going to find things to love about this movie. And speaking of love, this film actually kind of centers around two love stories. You've got Queenie and Jacob, who are estranged and trying to find their way back to one another, which, by the way, Jacob Kowalski, played by Dan Fogler, is the entire highlight of this entire film. Every moment, every line, so perfectly executed and just wonderful. I want to call it delicious. It's not quite delicious, but you absolutely are going to fall in love with Jacob Kowalski if you haven't already from the last two films. But then there's another love story. And this is a love story that I think actually will surprise a lot of people as far as the fact that it got portrayed on film. We've all had rumors, we've all had inklings, we've all had feelings that this was coming. But to actually know that they went there is so exciting and so juicy and delectable. And just we're just gonna say it. We're gonna talk about it. Here we go. We finally acknowledge that Dumbledore is gay, and he was in love with Grindelwald. Can you believe that? And this goes back to their time as kids at Hogwarts. And they have a blood pact together, and that's why they can't fight one another. And it's a really just kind of touching moment of like, yes, here we go. But honestly, I felt like they just kind of said it and then walked away from it. And they don't bash you over the head with it, which is lovely. But I would have enjoyed some flashbacks to really piece together exactly what kind of love story they had. So I love that we went there. I would just maybe hope that we get to see more of that story somewhere. And I would be very excited to see that personally. And so then we do, this whole film is basically kind of focused around the Dumbledores in general, and not just Albus, but Aberforth, his brother, who has this inn that they're constantly using for meetings. And we really get to see more of a dynamic between the brothers, learn more about their sister, their mother, to the point that I'm starting to feel like this series of films isn't so much about Fantastic Beasts anymore, like the creatures and the beasts specifically, as it is about the Dumbledores now. Let me just say there's nothing wrong with that. I love the Dumbledores. I would love more Dumbledore stories all the time. I just feel like that could have been its own offshoot. And I want more creatures. I want more beasts. Like, first of all, we'll come back to the beasts. Actually, we'll just come back. We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to come back. So back to the Dumbledores. So we also learn at the end of the previous Fantastic Beasts movie, Crimes of Grindelwald, that Credence is possibly a Dumbledore. And we get confirmation of that in this film. And he is Aberforth's son, which I didn't see that one coming, which I thought maybe he was another brother that we have yet to meet. But he's Aberforth's son. And it's exciting to learn that. But at the same time, I don't feel like they give us enough information as to why they're estranged from each other and why even now that he has learned the true identity of himself, Aberforth can't seek him out or invite him in. Like, there's this constant magical messaging that's happening between Credence and Aberforth where there's like secret messages in a mirror of I want to come home. Why is Aberforth being so resistant? I really kind of, maybe I need to see the film again. Maybe it didn't click with me because there were so many things to take in. But for me, I felt like that was just like a missing piece of the puzzle that I hope maybe the next film we get to go into a little bit further. But to go back to the not enough beasts now. So this is a Fantastic Beasts series. You know, the first film, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. We're meeting Newt Scamander, this magic zoologist. And magic zoologist is a word that nobody can say, by the way, except for maybe Eddie Redmayne himself. magic zoologist, he's the only one in existence that we know of. He's creating an entire book, like a dictionary, an illustrated guide, everything you need to know about magical creatures and beasts and how wonderful they are and what you can do with them, like if they have healing properties for other things. And I am here for that story. I'm here to meet all of the magical creatures. And I feel like the first film, we meet a lot of them. In the second film, we meet a few of them. In this film, I feel like we met two of them. And yes, we do get Teddy. And we do get Pickett, some of the old classics that we know and love, because if you know me, I love a Niffler. But other than that, we get a Chillin, that's like the new beast, and we see manticores. And all of the previous beasts that we've met, I think we actually went into Newt's suitcase once, maybe twice, but once for sure, and for about a total of maybe, and I'm being generous here, 60 seconds. And during that time period, we just kind of get like a 360 pan of one area of the suitcase where you see a pop for 2 to 3 seconds of all of these beasts that we've seen before. And then that's it. There are no more beasts. Or at least there's no more going back to those beasts. And I would have liked to see more Bunty taking care of the animals. I would have liked to have explored getting to know more of these things and actually see Newt at work and him journaling more about all of these discoveries and findings. Like the beginning of The Secrets of Dumbledore, you see him with a full-grown Chillin that is pregnant and going into labor. And then we see the birth of these Chillins. And we never go back to that land and we never talk about why he's there and we never really see him write any notes down or anything. It's just all of a sudden I have to protect this creature. And we don't really learn why until 3/4 of the way into the movie. But we know that Newt protects and loves all creatures, so that's fine. Like, you know, there's nothing unusual about that. I just feel like I wanted more beasts. I don't know, maybe that was me. I know plenty of people that saw this movie that felt like there were so many beasts. And I'm just like sitting here like, I love the Dumbledores. I really do. And I just want more beasts, more animals. With that said, I did mention that we also meet a manticore. We never see the full-grown manticore. We see its scorpion tail, and we hear it. Then we see tons of baby manticores. I would have liked to have seen the full size. Like, how exactly big is this thing? Like, that tail seems like it's the size of the Empire State Building. Like, it seems pretty massive. Like, how big and deep is this tunnel of this secret jail that we find it in? This is, again, just I would like more of the beasts. But with that said, I have to mention, when we meet the Manticores, it's when Newt is saving his brother Theseus. And in order to do so, he's about to get attacked by all of these baby Manticores, and he goes into mimicry, where he goes into what most people would look at as like a crab pose, but this is actually a Manticore positioning, and does a Manticore dance, and they all mimic him all the way down to like saving his brother, and then they have to do the dance to get out of this cave as well. I was on the floor laughing the entire time, to the point that I literally made an Instagram reel of me doing it as like me heading to see Secrets of Dumbledore, where you see me entering the movie theater and going past a poster and into the theater doing the dance, which is on my Instagram. If you don't already follow me at Sprinkled by Magic, you can go and see that reel and have a good laugh at me being silly, it being so inspired from this movie after I saw it. So I just got to give a shout out to my favorite scene of the movie, because that was really wonderful. And I would like more of that, because even during that moment, Newt and his brother are having a little back and forth banter of like, this is your idea of a rescue kind of thing. And Newt's like, well, you know, I had a whole study on mimicry, and how did it turn out? Well, the evidence was non-conclusive, you know, like he's just hoping things work out here. And I'm like, see, this is what I want, though. Like, I feel like maybe we need a Newt Scamander TV series where every episode is about the identification and studying of one specific beast. And that would be really fun. Wouldn't that be fun? If you agree with me, come send me a DM at Sprinkled by Magic on Instagram, or find us at High Voltage Mag on TikTok or High Voltage Mag on Twitter. And let us know if you agree with that, because I think a series would be really fun. So now that I've like kind of gone through all these things, like I want the flashbacks to Albus's, you know, love story when he was younger. I want to see more of this love story that Aberforth had and how he ended up with a son. And I want to see more beasts and things like that. I feel like everything was left kind of open-ended to go along with this one quote we keep hearing in the movie. Not everyone can know everything. Okay, fine. I get it. I'm not going to know everything. There's going to be mysteries and puzzles. Doesn't mean I still don't want it. But that does seem to be the recurring theme of the entire movie. And especially like Bunty says it like right at the end, because she ends up being the one that kind of saves the day. But I was also really disappointed in how she kind of ends up saving the day, because they built it up so much in the press junket and in the trailer that Bunty has a much bigger role in this movie and that Dumbledore is giving her a big mission. And then when you find out what the mission is, I kind of just went, really? Like, you sent the woman out to just run an errand. Like, and it wasn't even just like, hey, Bunty, we need you to do magic yourself to create replicas of these suitcases and then not tell anyone who's going to have the real suitcase and whatever. It was literally go to this store and have a guy do this and then return it here. And it just felt very, I don't know what the word is for women. I wanted to say emasculating, but like that's more male focused. I just felt like we could have given the woman a little bit more responsibility in general. And we do have some other really fantastic, strong female characters in Fantastic Beasts. I'm not knocking that at all. I just feel like Bunty has not seen her full potential yet. And I'm waiting for it, because she's got to be an incredible woman to spend most of her time taking care of those animals while Newt's out getting into all sorts of trouble and whatnot. Like, they have to have some sort of really epic, special relationship. She's had to have learned so much. And for Newt to trust her, especially in this film, when she has to take the suitcase and move away from him, he can't know what's happening. He just has to trust that she's going to take care of his babies and his life's work. Like, we need to unpack Bunty more. Like, we barely even see her in this film. She is definitely what I feel like a footnote. Like, maybe she had 5 more minutes than she had in the last film of screen time, but I need more Bunty. I'm just going to put it out there. If for the Wizarding World aficionados and experts, writers, creators of the world that are listening to this podcast, should this ever fall into your hands, give us more Bunty, please. Now, just a couple more quick things before we wrap this up. We were talking about strong female characters, and I've always liked Tina. And Tina was a big part of the last two films. And she is just mentioned in this movie. She is much more of a footnote than Bunty could possibly be. But like at one point, we got like more than halfway through the movie and all we had seen was a shot of her looking up at a screen with no dialogue that was maybe 5 seconds. And we get to what feels like the end of the movie. And I was like, are we seriously not going to have any Tina? And like, obviously, we see like a photo of her in Newt's suitcase and you can tell that there's some sort of unrequited love something happening there, that Newt's got feelings that were never actualized, that he maybe regrets not saying, and things of that nature. But why is Tina so distant in this story? Why is she not a bigger part of it? And yes, they explain it away by saying that she got a higher position in the Makusa. Okay. If she's got more responsibility, shouldn't she be a bigger part of helping them? I don't know. That was very weird for me. But then she comes at the very end of the movie when Queenie and Jacob finally come back together and they get married, or at least like we're seeing the wedding happen. Tina shows up for the wedding and has, you know, 10 words with Newt. And it's very anticlimactic. Like, we're all like, yes, here's the moment. Take her in your arms kind of thing, you know, and like just nothing. So I'm not really truly understanding that. Maybe the next film will figure out more of that, because you definitely can tell that Newt's like, I screwed up somewhere. I really care for this person. He's got to get out of his own way at some point, right? I hope so. Tina's a great character. I want more Tina. Speaking of things I wanted more of, Hogwarts. What the heck was that? So I never thought we were going to go back to Hogwarts in the series. I really did not see that coming. And then the trailer drops and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to Hogwarts and Jacob's getting a wand and oh my goodness. And I'm so excited. And like, I thought this film was going to be like halfway based inside Hogwarts, and that Jacob getting a wand from Dumbledore, that in him sitting in the Great Hall from that shot in the trailer, was going to be like he learned some magic, like he sat in on McGonagall's class or something for a minute just to learn some basics so he could help be part of like Dumbledore's army or something of like that nature. And literally they all just somehow ending up using a portkey that brings them to Hogwarts so that Dumbledore can bring them to the Room of Requirements before they all go off to the last location of the film where they're going to save the day. And it's maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes of the movie that we're at Hogwarts, and we see the Great Hall. We see the outside lands, the overall, like you can see the Quidditch field, you can see the castle, and then you see the Room of Requirements, and that's it. I don't think there was any other rooms that we see. It was just like the room, you know, that appears based on whatever it is that you need. And it had whatever they needed inside. That is the Room of Requirements, if you did not know. And that was it. And maybe it was just my own unmanaged expectations, however you want to phrase that. It was an expectation hangover. So I was so excited to go back to Hogwarts, and then that was it. And then we had the added upset of I really thought we were going to get to see Jacob have magic or learn how to use it. And then he never got to do anything with his wand. And at least Dumbledore lets him keep it. But like, oh, that was such a disappointment. I've got to get over it personally. Don't worry, guys. I will take a moment. We will work through this. I will be okay. But I just was so excited to go back to Hogwarts. And that was such a tease. Seriously, Wizarding World, why you gotta tease us like that? Also, on that note, are we ever gonna see Ilvermorny? Like, I felt like we announced the existence of Ilvermorny and the different houses within it. I think it was before the first Fantastic Beasts movie came out. And then just, I think the first movie, like, mentions the word casually. It might be written on a newspaper. And then we kind of don't hear anything about it until this film where, you know, we have one of the highest, held in the highest regards professors from Ilvermorny that's helping with Newt and everybody along the way. And that's pretty much all we got. Like, are we ever going to go to Ilvermorny? Is there an offshoot coming, like a new series or a new film that's just going to be the Ilvermorny stories? I would like to know about the United States Magical School, because as much as I love England, and I do, it's one place in the world that has felt more like home to me than anywhere else I've been, and I've never lived there. I am from the United States, and I would like to know about our school a little bit more. So I just feel like there's so much more potential. And this actually, with all of that said, it could seem like a lot of upset and negatives. I still loved this story. It was so cool to see Grindelwald's power a little bit more. The battle scene at the end where the blood pact breaks between Dumbledore and Grindelwald and they're able to actually duel each other was the most epic wizarding duel I have seen in a long time, and that was so fun. And it's clearly set up for another film. I know they originally announced the series to have many more films than what we currently have. I'm excited to see where it continues going. I really loved this film. It's totally worth seeing. I can't wait to see it again, and I hope all of you guys feel the same out there as well. Because if you're listening to it at this point, you should have seen it. And maybe you also needed somebody to unpack everything with. And so don't take anything that I said in this podcast as a true negative. It was just an expectation hangover. So many things I thought would happen that didn't happen. But then the things that did happen were still so fun. And like I said, Jacob, huge highlight of the film. Even without him using magic, what he contributes to the story is still perfection. Like chef's kiss, mwah. Perfection. I'm so glad that we didn't have to wait any longer for Queenie and Jacob to get back together. I really loved learning more about the Dumbledores. The Chillin is such a great creature. So awesome. Loved meeting the Chillin. I'd like to see more Manticore antics. And beyond that, I think that's all I got, y'all. But definitely me. There's rumors. And there has been rumors for a while that eventually HBO Max might do some sort of Harry Potter Wizarding World related series. I feel like there's so much potential now, especially out of this film, of places that they can go. And I hope that we hear something about that soon. Otherwise, that's it. If you guys need to talk or unpack Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore more, make sure you find me on Instagram at Sprinkled by Magic. That's Sprinkled with a D. Sprinkled by Magic, TikTok at High Voltage Mag, Twitter at High Voltage Mag. Send us a message. We're happy to unpack with you. We're happy to share thoughts. And beyond that, let us know what you're watching. We always love to geek out with everybody else. And hopefully we'll see you guys at a convention or something real soon. But thank you for listening to this podcast. And we will talk to you soon.